Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, it's a minority parliament in Prince Edward Island.
The Green Party entered this election asking islanders to put their faith in us to introduce a new way of governing.
Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe says the Prime Minister isn't doing enough about the canola crisis.
The Prime Minister was in Saskatoon on Tuesday, and the Premier's office was not alerted that the Prime Minister was coming, and there, of course, was no official meeting between the two.
And the challenges the government faces with less than 6 months to go until the federal election.
And I know there's people in here who will agree with some of the things I say and disagree with other things that I say, disagree with my perspectives, and that's fine. That's part of my job, and that's what I'm paid for.
It's Wednesday, April 24th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by HuffPost Canada's Ottawa Bureau Chief and the host of the Follow-Up podcast, Althea Raj. Good morning, Althea.
Good morning, Mark.
So this was probably one of the times in Canadian history when an election, a provincial election in Prince Edward Island, was the most watched by people outside the province of PEI, because there was the chance for a historic breakthrough for the Green Party. And in a sense, there was, because they now are the official opposition. They won 8 seats, but they didn't form a government, as some people had been expecting and the polls had suggested was possible. Instead, it is going to be one of the traditional parties, the Progressive Conservatives, who appear to have a minority government going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it was still an exciting race to watch. It was the only three-way race in the province's history, and it delivered the first minority government since Confederation. So there's still a lot of history being made last night. But it's not exactly what the polls were predicting. It's, as you mentioned, Dennis King is the new premier designate. So the PCs are going to be forming government. It looks like they're going to get the first crack at forming government. But it's kind of remarkable because just a few months ago, back in November, they were polling third in public opinion polls. So, you know, as the saying goes, you never really know what's going to happen on election day. Elizabeth May suggested earlier this week that, you know, her wedding on Monday was going to be at the start of a breakthrough week for the Greens. And as you mentioned, it's a little bit disappointing, I'm sure, for Green Party supporters to miss that chance of forming government. But 8 seats is nothing to sneeze at. You know, the balance of power is being held by the Greens. And should it come to it, the Greens could easily form a coalition government with the Liberals. So it's still a big win, 8 seats in a provincial legislature. We haven't seen that.
Yeah, and it's still a big breakthrough. And as you say, this is a province that since Confederation has largely not only been governed only by the Liberals and the Conservatives, but apart from two different members of the Legislative Assembly in two different elections, all of the seats have been held by the Liberals and the Conservatives since Confederation. There was one seat that was won by a New Democrat in 1996, and in the last election, one seat won by the leader of the Green Party. Other than that, every single seat in the legislature has been held by Liberals or Conservatives. So this is, you have to take that into account when you think about how historic it is for the Green Party to win even 8 seats.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are going to extrapolate a lot from this election as to, you know, what could it mean federally. I think we need to remember that Prince Edward Island is still, you know, 140,000 people, and so the sample size is a little bit small to extrapolate what it could mean for 37 million people. But, you know, there's obviously an appetite for change across the country, and in PEI, much like we saw in Quebec, frankly, with Philippe Couillard's government, it doesn't seem like the voters cared so much about things like, oh, in Quebec, for example, they balanced the books and the economy's doing well. Or in PEI, the island went through a period of economic growth and population growth. When the voters decide that they want change, that they vote for change. And the same issues that we saw in PEI are kind of actually playing out federally, you know, affordability, healthcare, but especially housing. So I know that there is a lot of people who are going to look at the result today and wonder, what does it mean for Justin Trudeau? And obviously the one thing I think across the country we can say is that since he's become prime minister, Liberal governments across the country have fallen, you know, British Columbia, Ontario, Quebec, New Brunswick, now PEI, possibly in Newfoundland. As we head into the election, there's going to be, in the federal election, there's going to be a provincial election in Newfoundland and Labrador. And of course, that Mr. Trudeau lost his ally in Rachel Notley in Alberta. So obviously it's not good news for Justin Trudeau as Liberals head to the polls, and it's great news for Andrew Scheer in a sense that he gets an ally on the campaign trail.
Yeah. So one last thing that I'll mention about it. Never before in PEI history in a provincial election there had a third party gotten more than 11% of the vote, and the Green Party got over 30%. And the Conservatives' vote actually went down in this election, but they go from being in opposition in a majority Liberal government to having the most number of seats, having a plurality of seats in a minority parliament situation, even though their vote went down by about 1%. So
yeah,
some interesting.
I think, once again, vote splits matter, and PC governments, conservative governments across the country are often elected because the left is split. And that was an example we saw again last night.
All right, let's turn to a couple of other stories. Scott Moe, the Premier of Saskatchewan, is once again asking the federal government for help with canola farmers and saying that the Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, has not followed through on his commitment to give real support.
Yeah, so they had a conversation in March, and it seemed to go pretty well. The Premier left that conversation thinking that the federal government was really committed to doing something. And yesterday on Twitter, Scott Moe posted a letter he had sent to the Prime Minister basically expressing his frustration that nothing has been done concretely from their discussion. So Scott Moe had put forward the suggestion that the government change a program called the Advanced Payment Program. Basically, he wanted Ottawa to give farmers up to $1 million in cash advance interest-free. This is to offset the fact that China has blocked canola producers from exporting their product into China, and this is resulting in depressed prices and cash flow issues, and especially when you think that the seeding season is coming upon us, a lot of farmers are having difficulty preparing for that season. So Scott Moe was saying, hey, you haven't done anything yet. I gave you a solution, and you haven't acted on it. And there was no concrete response from the federal government yesterday. I think another thing that might have contributed to the Premier's frustration was that Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, was in Saskatoon on Tuesday, and the Premier's office was not alerted that the Prime Minister was coming, and there, of course, was no official meeting between the two.
Yeah, another example, as you were saying, there are governments changing across the country away from the Liberal Party. Saskatchewan, of course, was already not a Liberal government, but it's just another example of the minefield that that working with provincial governments is going to be for Justin Trudeau.
And frankly, what a coordinated attack between premiers who are frustrated by this Liberal government can do in the lead up to an election.
Yeah. All right. Finally, the Globe and Mail has a story this morning reporting that the Prime Minister's office is using a private Liberal Party database, in fact, a database called Liberalist, when it's doing background checks on candidates for judicial appointments. So they're actually checking, or at least the database allows them to check whether judges or candidates to become judges have supported the Liberal Party in the past.
Yeah, I mean, on the face of it, the story kind of seems obvious. I mean, I would suspect, frankly, that the Harper PMO was also doing the same thing, in the sense that when you're vetting judges, you obviously want to go through, a new search to make sure that nothing embarrassing has popped up. You want to make sure that you know what their political donation track record is, because you're going to be asked about it. There was a mention in the Globe that they also check against the Panama Papers to make sure that the judges are not listed in there. They go through, of course, their social media accounts. So none of that is surprising. But what would be surprising is if we find out that not only were judges flagged for their donations to the Liberal Party, or their membership when the Liberals used to have a membership program, but that they were appointed because of that. And there is a few factoids in the Globe story that I think are quite interesting. The Globe found out, using Elections Canada's public database, that about 25% of the judges that have been appointed or promoted by the Trudeau government since 2016 had donated to the Liberal Party of Canada, and only about 6% had donated to either the Conservatives, the New Democrat or the Greens, and that of those donations, 90% of the total amount of all donations was actually directed to the Liberal Party. That's quite a large amount. So was anybody promoted because of their Liberal ties, as opposed to somebody else who might have been, you know, an equally competent judge who perhaps had supported the Conservatives? I'm sure this story will generate fodder for many more.
All right. Althea, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Have a great day.
Okay, you too, Mark. Thanks so much.
That's Althea Raj, HuffPost Canada's Ottawa Bureau Chief and the host of the Follow Up podcast.
And I know there's people in here who will agree with some of the things I say and disagree with other things that I say, disagree with my perspectives, and that's fine. That's part of my job. That's what I'm paid for.
Now, let's take a look at what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In the National Post, John Iveson argues the governing party is in all kinds of disarray. Iveson writes, the departure of Gerald Butts has robbed Justin Trudeau of his most trusted political confidant. The Liberals have been slow in nominating candidates in ridings they don't hold, and the battle over the carbon tax is playing badly. But the Liberals enjoy the advantage of incumbency. The campaign will doubtless portray Trudeau as a selfless and empathetic politician who does what's right. Whether voters swallow that fable after the SNC affair remains to be seen. In the Toronto Star, Thomas Walkham argues the Green Party is staking its claim as Parliament's conscience. Walkham writes, in a world threatened by climate change, the Greens are in a position to act as a moral force. The Liberals seem wishy-washy, while the anti-carbon tax Conservatives appear positively antediluvian. Green Party leader Elizabeth May projects an image of calm reason. But will voters cast their ballots in the hope that she can persuade whoever wins power in October to do something to halt the destruction of the planet? In the Ottawa Citizen, Andrew Cohen argues, environmentalists and feminists must stop demanding political perfection. Cohen writes, in Alberta, environmentalists went after the New Democrats who imposed a carbon tax but wanted to expand a pipeline. Alberta has since elected a party that will repeal the carbon tax. Now, feminists unhappy with Justin Trudeau's treatment of Jody Wilson-Raybould and Jane Philpott are in league with the Conservatives, condemning Trudeau's fake feminism. They can do in Ottawa what the environmentalists did in Edmonton. Let's see how that works out for them. Now, here's what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. In Montreal, Environment Minister Catherine McKenna will announce projects that will protect natural habitats in Quebec. Minister of Crown Indigenous Relations Carolyn Bennett will make an announcement in Toronto on behalf of the Environment Minister. Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau will be in Havelock, New Brunswick, where she will visit a farm and meet with representatives of the local farm cooperative. Border Security Minister Bill Blair will be in Halifax to make a funding announcement about gun and gang violence in Nova Scotia. Minister of Fisheries Jonathan Wilkinson will make an announcement in Gaspé, Quebec. Natural Resources Minister Amarjeet Sohi will highlight a zero-emission vehicle announcement in Edmonton. Health Minister Jeanette Petipa-Taylor will be in Vancouver to take part in a forum on official languages. She will also make announcements about vaccination rates and the opioid crisis in British Columbia. Treasury Board President Joyce Murray will discuss emergency management in Vancouver. Small Business Minister Mary Ng will announce investments in women entrepreneurs in Vancouver and Burnaby, B.C. Infrastructure Minister François-Philippe Champagne will attend infrastructure events in Richmond and Chilliwack, B.C. Minister of Families Jean-Yves Duclos will visit the Gary W. Morden Centre in Mississauga, Ontario. In Kitchener, Ontario, Government House Leader Bartosz Chagger will make an announcement on behalf of the Innovation Minister. And Minister of Seniors Philomena Tassi will visit seniors organizations in Eastern Ontario. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Wednesday, April the 24th. Tune into Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.